continue in our study
of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We have been really spending quite a bit of time examining each aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. At the beginning of the lessons, I thought maybe I'd do two or three a night. And then when I got to studying a little bit more, I thought that I'd just go ahead and deal with one each Wednesday night. So far again, the emphasis here, each time we look at some aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, the understanding is all of these aspects, all of this fruit that is manifested and displayed in the child of God is a direct product of the Holy Spirit of God, who has created in us a new nature, and through the instrumentality and the sanctifying power of the Word of God, He produces fruit in us that enables us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If you were to take every aspect of the fruit of the Spirit, it would perfectly describe the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is the one that produces genuine love. He is the one that gives us not just peace with God, but the peace of God. That internal tranquility of spirit, because we are able to trust in the Lord in every aspect. He gives us joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now tonight we're going to deal with something that I feel like is one of my greatest needs in all the fruit of the Spirit. And that is long-suffering. Now, a short definition is, this is the Christian's trait of not being easily offended or provoked. Now, in that sense, I really am not easily offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. But there are times when I get really annoyed. And I get irritated. I get irritated and annoyed with people and with circumstances. And really, the fruit of long-suffering really comes down to how you deal with people and circumstances. Now, I'm going to give you a longer definition. That renowned Baptist scholar, Tom Ross. No, yeah. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Here's the definition that I give. Let's see. At first glance, it would seem that this grace relates only to our ability to bear the provocations and offenses of others patiently. However, the scriptural meaning of the word long-suffering may also be expressed by the related synonyms of patience, forbearance, endurance, and perseverance. The fruit of long-suffering is developed in God's children by the Holy Spirit through our dealings with other people, through the means of adversity and trials, as well as patient perseverance in our service to God. Now, one of my favorite writers, in fact, if you can ever buy this book on the fruit of the Spirit, it's by George Bethune. He wrote that book, I believe, in 1839. And I'm gonna give you his definition. And then we'll get into the specifics of the message. George Bethune said this: the composition of this term might lead some to think that the apostle intends merely a forbearing and forgiving temper towards those who insult or injure us. And indeed, the early Christians, exposed as they were to constant persecution and contempt, had great need of such grace. But long-suffering means yet more. The idea of the apostle is exactly expressed by longanimity, or that enduring courage and fortitude derived from confidence in the faithfulness of God and a sure expectation of final deliverance, which sustains the believer through a long period of labor and trial. It is patience having her perfect work. Now, tonight we're going to deal, first of all, long-suffering in relationship to people. And if you really want to know what long-suffering is all about, look at God. He is long-suffering to us. In fact, when He revealed Himself to the nation of Israel, He described Himself as this in Exodus chapter 34 and verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. As I started thinking about the long-suffering of God, it made me think about how much sin God sees. How He sees the sin of everyone all throughout the world. He sees their inward motivations that we can't see. He knows the thoughts and the intents of their heart. And yet, oft times, God is mostly long-suffering. I've often thought about how sinful and wicked we are, and how God spared us before we were ever saved, demonstrating His long-suffering and His goodness. I think of all the wickedness that goes on, and God is long-suffering. Now, I guarantee you this. There is coming a day of adjustment. Don't mistake the long-suffering of God and think that He is easy on sin. No, He will judge. But right now is a day and an opportunity when those that don't know the Lord, who are experiencing His goodness, the way that He takes care of people throughout the world, He's being long-suffering. It's displayed in His goodness over all of creation. But think about these examples of long-suffering. Moses, 40 years in the wilderness, dealing with people that were constantly murmuring, complaining over their food, their circumstances, their lack of water, the leadership that they had. They complained against God over and over again. Moses put up with that. And 40 years, he dealt with people who were annoying, who irritated him. And we often focus in on the one time that Moses messed up when he, instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock twice. And that is the very thing that prohibited him from leading the children of Israel into the promised land. But up to that point, we read about Moses that he is one of the meekest men in all the earth. He was a man of great leadership. He, even though the children of Israel would rail on him and would complain against him and against God, you'd find him on his knees. You'd find him praying for them. You know, we are called to be long-suffering in the Lord's church and in our families. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, this is a key to unity within the church. Ephesians 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We need to exercise long suffering as we deal with one another. In a New Testament church, you have all kinds of different believers from different backgrounds. Yet we make up one body. And we're to be unified in our purpose. And in order to do that, we've got to have a spirit of long suffering toward others. We can't all the time get annoyed or irritated at one another. Or I know I can be irritated. Joe, you didn't have to nod so... Man, Joe, when I said that, Joe went, yeah, man, like that. But the fact is, part of developing the grace of long-suffering is you learning how to deal with people, even when they may be crossways and irritating. And then I think of the example of David. You think of what David endured. Remember when Absalom usurped the throne and David was forced out of the kingdom, forced out of Jerusalem? He went into the wilderness and, I mean, it was a time of great humiliation for David. And remember Shimei, he was one of the relatives of Saul. And remember what Shimei did in 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 8. When he saw David, he cussed him, he railed on him, he threw dirt and rocks on him. And the people that were with David, they want, what are you going to do about this, king? And David just left it in the hands of the Lord. And I thought, when others ridicule and curse us, I think David exemplified the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because a greater king than David, when he was maligned, when he was cursed, when he was railed upon, he didn't rail back. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 23, or verse 22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. How many of us are like the Lord Jesus? How many times when we're railed upon or mistreated by men, does a spirit of revenge and hatred rise up from our old carnal nature? Look over at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrawise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Now you see why I feel like I need a lot of work on this aspect of long-suffering. Does that hit you as well? We live in an age where on social media people can be ruthless and cruel. And you feel like, ah, man, I'm a really... lay the wood to them. I know what I'm going to say. And really, we need to be more like the Lord Jesus. In fact, I've got to commend Katie tonight. She's here, but I was going back and forth with a guy I grew up with. And man, she just really gently said, you know, I know I'm not going to convince you, but I'm going to pray for you. And that's really the way we ought to be. So you got Moses, you got David. How about Stephen? You think of somebody that was long-suffering to the end. While people were throwing rocks at Stephen, he said, "Father, forgive them." Almost saying almost exactly what the Lord Jesus said when He was dying on the cross, when Stephen was taking his last breaths. You see, Moses, David, Stephen, the Lord Jesus Christ, when dealing with difficult people, they all committed themselves unto the Lord, unto God. One common thread is each one committed themselves into the hand of Almighty God. Do you know that evidence, the evidence that you are truly God's elect is that this grace of long suffering will be manifest in your life? Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 3 and look at verses 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, as those who are eternally loved, selected before the foundation of the world." This is how you are to be clothed, how people are to see you as the chosen of God, the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. This is why I think any kind of problem in a New Testament church should be able to be solved. Because of the mind of Christ. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is one of my favorite passages. I have used these verses so many times. In verse 16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction," that's the weight of our trial, of our affliction. And you know what? It's light in comparison to what we deserve. We deserve an eternity in the lake of fire. So all affliction, all trial that is molding us to be more like Christ is light in comparison to His sufferings on our behalf. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment." How often when we're going through trials and adversity, do we think that it'll never end? And God says it's temporary, it's momentary. The length of it is, it's only going to be for a while. "This too shall pass. Worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory." There's always a good outcome with when God designs the affliction and the trial. The outcome is glory. Glory to His name. Verse 18, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Long-suffering in relationship to people. Some people are going to present themselves as a trial. Look at your kids. I mean, your kids can be a trial, a difficulty. But God gives you the grace to be long-suffering to them. Now, secondly tonight, long-suffering in relationship to perplexities, to trials, to affliction. Now, the only way that you're going to really have this grace of long-suffering working in you and you seeing the benefit of it is if you acknowledge tonight that God is sovereign, that He is in control, and that everything He does is good. Do you believe that? Do you believe God is good? Do you believe that He has a purpose, that He's working out in your life, and that everything that comes to be has been decreed by Almighty God? Romans 8:28. Josh, when we were eating supper tonight, he said, everybody say your memory verse. Mine was, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose. You know somebody that knew that truth and practiced it before it was ever written? I think of Joseph. Can you imagine how he must have felt emotionally when his brothers, who were jealous and envious, he heard them talking about they threw him in a pit. Some of them even wanted to kill him. They heard the plan to sell him. He heard all of that. He was sold into Egyptian slavery. And you read all through his life that the Lord God was with him. And instead of being bitter, instead of being hateful, when he was in a position of power and authority, when the prophecy that he uttered actually came true, Joseph was gracious to his brothers. And when he revealed himself and they finally realized who he was, and they thought that surely he was going to take revenge on them, you know what his attitude was? Now, this is somebody that has real long suffering. He said, Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now there is someone in whom the grace of long suffering was manifested in a powerful way, and he had that attitude that all of the evil and trial and affliction that he had endured, he understood God meant it for good. Affliction and adversity brings growth and maturity. That's one reason why God develops long-suffering in us. It's why, and I've said this so many times, it amazes me how the New Testament writers looked at trials and afflictions. So much different than we do. Anything that seems to upset our apple cart or gets us off kilter, we get angry when things don't go our way. The writers of Scripture, they saw affliction as a means of God bringing long-suffering and patience and maturity into their life. Imagine being able to say this with James and mean it. He said in James chapter 1 and verse 3, knowing this, or no, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. he saw the benefit of adversity and trials and afflictions. Look what he said in James chapter 5 and verse 10. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Read about the Old Testament prophets and how they were maligned. They were hated by the people they ministered to. Jeremiah was thrown into prison. And then he says, ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is pitiful and of tender mercy. Wow, when I think of God dealing with Job, it amazes me how he could have such an attitude. And as I was reading, I read Jerry Bridges today on the subject of godliness. And he said this, it was Jerry Bridges. And it really made me think about Job. We know, we read the book of Job. We read all the inner workings. We see that God, how He was working behind the scenes. Job didn't know any of that. He didn't even have the Word of God. All he had was faith in God. Everything was stripped from him. Everything was taken from him. His family was taken. His health was taken. His friends were railing on him. His wife urged him to curse God and die and be done with it. And Job, he said in chapter 19, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. What an attitude of grace and patience and long suffering in Job. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in it all, he worshiped God. I like this, what Bridges said. I quote him, the fruit of patience in all its aspects, long-suffering, forbearance, endurance, and perseverance, is a fruit that is most, now listen carefully, that is most intimately associated with our devotion to God. All character traits of godliness grow out of and have their foundation in our devotion to God. But the fruit of patience must grow out of that relationship in a particular way. Only as we fear God will we submit to the trials He sends or allows. And only as we deeply apprehend His love for us in Christ will we find the courage to bear up under them. Trials always change our relationship with God. Either they drive us to Him, or they drive us away from Him. The extent of our fear of Him and our awareness of His love for us determine in which direction we move. How we respond to adversity reveals how much of the fruit of long-suffering and patience we really possess, and how much we really believe in God's sovereign working in our lives. And you realize that when this long suffering and patience is developed in us, it's through adversity and trial and affliction, we identify with Jesus Christ and with His sufferings and with His trials. And I'll close with this, 1 Peter chapter 1. In verse 20. No, chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow in His steps. Are we following in His steps? When He was reviled, He reviled not again. Peter said in chapter 4 and verse 12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. Folks, I believe the true character of a Christian is often displayed during adversity and trial. And this grace of long-suffering is something that we need in order to manifest the fruit of the Spirit working in us. Let's go to God in prayer. Brother Allen.